Bibles, and we'll go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, we'll continue our study going through Paul's letters in order here. Just like Timothy, Titus was written when Paul got out of his two-year Roman confinement. He was confined there in that his hired house for 2 years. So this was written probably around 63 A.D. And so, like Timothy, the book we just got done reading, specific instructions to Titus to teach people in a certain area. Now, we don't know actually when these churches were started here on Crete. We really don't know who actually started these churches and when they were done. A couple different views. People, just as they're hearing the gospel and traveling, they're doing it on their own. Kind of like Acts 13, the church at Antioch. Those that were spread abroad because of persecution went out preaching the word. So the church at Antioch was not started by Peter or John or James or Paul. In Acts 13, that was started by people who just went out and preached the gospel, and a group of believers got together there in Antioch. So, like Crete, that's one view. Another view is that Paul, pretty much later in his missionary journeys, went there. That timeline's kind of hard to follow, but nonetheless, there are churches there, there are people that are saved, and they need some help to be set in order. All right, so Titus actually was won by Christ, won to Christ by Paul. Timothy was not. Timothy was grew up in a Christian home, and so by the time Paul got to Timothy, he was already doing well. But Titus actually is a convert by Paul. And we're going to see kind of right away here. With Titus, Paul doesn't have to be maybe as emotional or encouraging. Titus has a little different personality. You can see it in Paul's writings to him. He can be more militant, more to the point, here's what I need you to do, all right? With Timothy, he needs a little bit more encouragement, a little more uplifting in his letters. So Titus chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which leads to godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began and has in due time revealed his word through preaching, with which I was entrusted according to the command of God our Savior. Now I'll break this down a little bit, and then I'm going to kind of do some hopping around. Right now what we see is Paul here as an apostle, telling Titus according to the faith of God's elect. Now, how does someone, when we say God's elect, you are being elected from a position. This is not electing to something, it's electing from something. See the difference? A lot of times it can get kind of confusing. Some people read into this, God elected them to something, like elect, like chosen to salvation or chosen to be saved. That's not the elect here. This elect is they're a part of the body and they're elected to do something going forward, right? So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's start in verse number 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Keep your spot there in Titus. We'll come back to that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, guard your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conduct yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance. But as he who has called you to be holy, so be he holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So here is a group of people who were outside of being saved. They're outside the group, right? They receive Christ as their Savior. Now they can live holy. Now they can be chosen from the group to do something. All right? Let's go to chapter 2, and let's look at verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may declare the goodness of him who has called you, here it is, out of darkness into his marvelous light. In times past, you were not a people. You were not elect. You were not chosen. You were outside. But now, you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So back to Titus, that's the people there. We're electing, boom, from a position. Okay, moving forward. Okay, and the knowledge of the truth. So God's elect, God's people, people who are saved right now, as they learn more truth, it needs to produce what? Godliness. Okay? And hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, and has in due time revealed his word through preaching, with which I was entrusted according to the command of God. Living eternally is nothing new. Right? Living eternally, this is not a new concept for people back then. The Jews believed in living eternally. Let's keep our spot here in Titus. Let's go to the Old Testament in the book of John. Old Testament, book of John. And let's look at chapter 11. And John chapter 11, let's look at verse 17. John 11, 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that he had been in the tomb 4 days already. Speaking of Lazarus, Lazarus has died. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you may ask of God, God will give you. On a side note, how cool is that faith that she has? Hey, if you had been here, wouldn't have died. But even with that being said, I know that God hears you because Christ is God. And whatever you ask, the question is, can you raise from the dead? I know that it can happen. 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Right? Everlasting life, resurrection, nothing new. We're under the Old Testament. We're under the law here, okay? They've known this for hundreds and hundreds of years. Okay, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Here's Christ's answer. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Look at this practical, simple form of belief. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come in the world. Boom. Done deal. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing more. I believe. I believe. I believe that. Go back to Titus. So this eternal life that has been promised has been around for hundreds of years. Here's where it gets technical. Here's where it gets interesting. All right? The Jew and Gentile being one, that preaching, okay, has come through Paul's preaching. Remember when Peter is on the scene, he's preaching to the nation of Israel. Remember, from Acts 2 to Acts 8, only the Jews are getting the gospel. And the message Peter is preaching in the book of Acts is, you killed the Messiah. Repent of your sin, singular. Not the bad things you have done. You killed Jesus. Repent of killing Jesus. That was the gospel message. If you believe in Jesus and repent of killing him, you'll have everlasting life. The gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection given to everyone, that preaching came through Paul. Christ taught Paul exactly what Paul needed to be teaching. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So that teaching, that preaching has come through Paul to these churches. All right? We'll see why it's important. So he's saying, here we go. In hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began. Of course, God promised that and has in due time revealed his word through preaching, which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. Okay? I was entrusted to teach everybody, teach the Gentiles, about salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, and that he died, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. The scriptures there that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 is not going to be found in the Old Testament like we think. Jesus said him in the Old Testament. He said three times, I will die and I will raise again. What Jesus said, because he is the Word, are the scriptures. He came as a prophet, priest, and king. So he's saying, I will die and raise again. Those are the scriptures. So Paul is referring back to what Jesus said about him coming and dying and raising again. Moving on. Verse 4, to Titus, my own son, the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete. All right, Titus, here's why I left you. That you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders. Yours might say bishop or pastor or whatever. It's the same thing. In every city as I commanded you. So here is Titus's task. He's to go to stay there in Crete. Paul's moving on. Paul's leaving him there. Paul had trustworthy men to leave behind and set things in order. Now we know from the first few verses, we want knowledge to produce godliness. I'm going to show you a handful of things and how Titus is going to set things up. It starts with a vision. You're not going to find it right here in chapter 1. Let's skip ahead and go to chapter 2, shall we? Chapter 2, verse 11. Here is the vision. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and righteously in godliness in this present world. That's the behavior you want. How do we get there? Here's the vision. Verse 13. As we await the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the vision. All right, so we're going to write this down. Sometimes when we read our Bible, we might read left to right or top to bottom, but I kind of want to flip that for a second, and it's the same process, just a different alignment, all right? So here's the vision. The vision is, as we await the blessed hope, as we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory and of our great God and Savior. That's the vision. As we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that's what I'm being fixed on. My mind is fixed on that. Titus, this is what their minds need to be fixed on. Okay? There's going to be a progression. There's going to be a progression. Okay? We're going to look at it from foundation up. Not left to right or top to bottom. We're going to look at foundation up. Okay, here we go. The foundation is appoint elders, shepherds, pastors, bishops, in every city, to teach. Okay? Now, there's a foundation. Okay? We'll go over in a minute the qualifications for a pastor. Okay? There is a behavior that is wanting to be produced. Okay? There's a behavior. So there's going to be a foundation of elders being implemented. Okay. There's going to be some teaching. Teach sound doctrine. From sound doctrine, we're going to look at some different groups here. We're going to look at older men, older women, young men, and in this text it's servants, Timothy, there's young women in there also. And then there's going to be the behavior. Denying ungodliness, worldly lust. I'm just going to put proper behavior. Okay. All right. We're doing good? Okay, we're looking at our Bible. We're going to read, we're going to go down and across, but the idea is moving up. Okay, the idea is moving up. The vision that they're to set their minds on, the outcome or where we want to be, right? As we await the blessed hope and the appearing of our glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thinking that Christ is coming today. I'm thinking that Christ is coming today, not tomorrow. There are no signs for the rapture. Paul is teaching us right now that Christ is coming today. Paul thinks that he's going to get raptured as of right now. Paul's not thinking in 2,000 years in America, there's going to be a lot of people talking about prophecy and end time stuff. Paul is saying they're in the end times. It's now. Christ is coming today. Nothing has to happen with Russia, with China, with America, with anybody. Nothing has to happen for Christ to come get you today. Nothing has to happen. We're living as if it's going to happen today. You appoint people, teach these people these things to get this behavior because he's coming any day. Appoint leadership to teach doctrine, to teach solid teaching, to these groups of people where you're going to go to get this behavior, because that's what I'm focused on, because my mind is here. We're going from foundation upwards. As I receive Christ as my Savior, as I know more information, as I live out what I know to be true, my mind is fixed on not me doing it now for me. It's fixed on I'm waiting for Christ's appearing. I'm living my life as if it's true. It has to happen that way, because if I think it's something years from now, I won't live properly. I won't prioritize. Motivation. These elders are here to teach sound doctrine to this group of people. The motivation, what moves me to action. Motivation, what moves me to action is, I know Christ is coming. If Christ is looking down at me today, to come get me today, what will he find me doing? How will he find me behaving? That's the motive. All right, here we go. Here are some qualifications. Notice that these men are already doing these things. Titus isn't taught to teach these men to do these things. The men that you see, Titus, here is what you're looking for to grab them and say, you're an elder, you're qualified. You ready? For this reason, verse 5, I left you in Crete that you should set in order things that are lacking. Okay, and appoint elders in every city. So it's not one local city. It's other cities that need guidance, that need help. Okay, Titus is to do this. We'll go up to verse 6. Any man who was blameless. So these people, these men, are already doing these things. Not teach them to do this. Remember, we're at the beginning phases right now. Now, as generations come, we can teach people to do this. But right now, here's what you're looking for. Any man who is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, who are not accused of being wild or unruly. Verse 7, for an overseer must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not easily angered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not greedy for dishonest gain, but hospitable. A lover of what is good, self-controlled, just, holy, temperate, holding firmly the trustworthy word that is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort with sound doctrine and to convince those who oppose it. So these men are not doing certain things and are doing certain things, right? They're not doing certain things, but they are during certain other items, okay? Those, Titus, as I have left you in Crete, when you go to these cities, you're looking for men that are doing these things, that have these things already done. Why? It's easier, it's simpler and easier to keep pushing them the direction that they're already going than to try and drag someone to change. You know how easy it was for Jesus to get a hold of Paul? Paul was already zealous before he was saved. Paul was already living for God according to what he thought. Of the law, Paul says, I was blameless. Paul was the epitome of a perfect Jew living out what standard-wise should have been done, just kind of off a little bit on where his love was. And God says, I can change that. Everything else that's required, zealous, traveling, moving, motivation, endurance, I can't teach that. That has to be caught, not taught. We have to be already doing it. Behaviors, I can say all the right things, but unless I'm doing it, they're not going to line up. The behaviors will come out what we're living out, not what we're saying. So these men here in Titus chapter 1, they're already doing this. Okay, they're already in stride. They're already doing it. These men are who we're going to grab and appoint as elders. Right? These are the ones we're going to choose from. These are the ones that are qualified. These are the ones. They're already doing it. They already got it. They got a hold of it. They're already committed. I don't have to convince them Now that you're saved, you should commit your life to Christ. Now that you're saved, you should stop doing bad things. Now that you're saved, you should. They're already on their own. They don't need any convincing. They're already bought in. Helps us choose our leaders, right? I'm looking at what someone's already doing. I learned a very, very valuable lesson from a missionary friend who's with the Lord now. Great, you guys would have loved him. Missionary from Australia. He traveled to 20 different countries, and he was a modern Titus. He was a modern Timothy. Going around, edifying churches, putting leadership in order, helping out how he can. This guy was amazing. And he would tell me, hey, I'm going to give you some advice, and I would buy this guy breakfast. He did not like to come to America. He says, God's got one foot in America and one foot in the ocean. He's on his way out. I'm like, but I'm still here, so can he help me? I remember his order. He'd always get scrambled eggs, hash browns, and fried tomatoes. And we would sit at the table, and I would just say, okay, what do I need to know? I was a young preacher, young pastor. And we would go over a lot of things, a lot on identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, not who the Baptist society wants you to be, not who your friends want you to be, not who the group wants you to be. You are who you are in Christ. That's all the thing that matters. Oh, cool. Another one among many golden nuggets he had was, hey, when someone's coming to you to be a missionary or to be a church planner, ask them, what countries have you been to and what work have you done there? And or if you're a church planner, what ministries have you already started at your home church? Because if they haven't started one already at their home church, it's going to be twice as hard for them on their own to start one in some place new in a foreign area. The principle is here. People that are already doing it, pull from them. Pull from them. The success rate will be higher pulling from those doing it than trying to convince and drag someone to do it. Great, great principle. Okay, the things not to do we covered. Okay, dishonest stuff. They need to be hospitable, temperate, holding firmly the trustworthy word. That is in accordance with the teaching. So not just the word, not just holding God's word, not just the teachings that have been taught, but actually doing it and living out with that proper teaching. Okay, in accordance with, they're both going together. Because we're going to notice there are some false teachers. They have the truth, but they're now teaching it not in accordance with Scripture. There's a difference there. Verse 10. Is it to answer the question, why? Why am I choosing men that are doing this and have this? Why am I choosing men that don't do certain things and do certain things? Why? Your answers come from questions. You should be questioning your Bible constantly, questioning Scripture, questioning God. Not in a negative, irreverent way, but in a way that promotes. You want to remember more about Scripture? Passive reading you will not know about the Bible passive reading. You have to ask questions. The more questions you ask, you will remember Scripture. You'll remember the Bible. Because you're remembering context. You're remembering what's going on, who it's written to, why it's being said. It's a fallacy. Neuroscience-wise, unless you have a legitimate problem, a medical problem, people don't have bad memories. People do not have bad memories. They have untrained brains. They have untrained brains. So that's good, right? We can train our brain now. I can train my brain to ask questions. I can train my brain to study. I can train my brain to look at things and to decipher things and have discernment, okay? Here's the question, why? Why is this important? If I was Titus, I'm reading. Paul's answering the question, why? Verse 10, for there are many unruly men, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced, who subvert whole houses by teaching for dishonest gain. things they ought not to teach. So now I'm starting to see what these false teachers are teaching and the fruit that's coming with it. They're teaching for dishonest gain. I'm linking things. What is gain? Doing things for money, doing things to get certain benefits, okay? They're doing it wrong, dishonestly. Who must be silenced, verse 11, subvert whole houses by teaching for dishonest gain, things they're not to teach. Verse 12, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts, idle gluttons. This witness is true. So rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who reject the truth. Okay? So there's two ideas here. One idea is these people are born again, but they've learned some false teaching, and they're teaching people false teaching. And the reason why some people believe they're born again is because it tells them in verse 13 to rebuke them, that they may be sound in the faith. So they're not out of the faith. They're in the faith, but they're just not sound in the faith. Okay? Many people can get caught up in that stuff, especially now. Click, click. You're one click away from a false teaching. You're one YouTube video away. You're one Facebook page away. You're one church website away from a false teaching. But it looks good, right? Looks professional. The guy looks good, sounds good, using Christianese vocabulary. But it's not true. It's not true what he's saying. You will know a false prophet by their fruit. Not believers. You hear that saying, you'll know them by their fruit? It's in the Gospels. It's linked to false prophets, false teachers. Not people in general. False, teaching false, false prophets. You'll know them by their fruit. The fruit here is doing things for dishonest gain. Right? They're teaching things out of Jewish myths, and they're liars, they're evil beasts, they're idle. Okay, they're teaching things that are commandments of men. They reject the truth. Verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. That unbelieving there could be just not believing the truth. Not an unbeliever, not someone who's not saved. Just keep that in mind. But someone who's not believing the truth. Even their minds and consciences are defiled. They profess that they know God. How many of us know people that say, yeah, I'm born again. I believe in Jesus. They profess it, but the end result is, yet, and their deeds they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and worthless for every good work. Someone who gets into false teaching, when my mind is focused on false teaching, on false doctrine, it can lead to a false behavior. That false behavior will be seen in not doing the things I should be doing and abstaining from what I should be doing. But the focus is being believed on a false teaching. So, if I want to get the proper behavior, if Titus needs to get the proper behavior, Paul is telling Titus how to get the proper behavior. It starts with you picking out quality men. Advanced people know the basics and always do the basics. Mature, advanced, successful, put your own word there. They know the basics, and they're always doing them. The main thought, the vision, and we'll go to it next week also, is we are waiting for the blessed hope. Paul, Titus, those at Crete, all believers are waiting for the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're waiting for that. We're doing it as if it's going to happen today. Not tomorrow, not next week. Not next year, not when Russia invades China, not when China invades Israel, not when today. today. How do I get them there? First, we need to have proper teaching. With knowledge, with truth, going forward, this foundation, proper, how do I say this? I'm losing my mind. Direct teaching for specific groups, not blanket statements, not chunks, not here. Let's start in the book of Matthew. Let's start with what God requires of his children in Ephesians. That better? Let's start with Colossians and what does God have for me as a believer today? Proper teaching. We're going to see Titus is going to be told specifically what to teach older men, older women, young men, and servants. It's specific, right? The more questions you ask, the clearer things become. The more clear things are, the more the behavior and successful I'll be, right? Clarity brings joy and success. When things are foggy, when things are misunderstood, why do people get angry? Fear? Insecurity? With change comes tension? Something not being clear. I learned this great principle when I was working with the in the resource room with kids that learn slower, which actually is no such thing. Oh, we won't get into it, but whatever. I had a great teacher, but I was under. He said, Jesse, most of the time, the kids just don't understand, which leads to bad behavior in the classroom. They're not bad kids. They're great kids. He would say, let me ask you, when you're out there at recess, do they do what you ask? I said, like that. He says, why is that? Because I told him what I want and don't want. He says, how clear are you? I said, I'm really clear. There you go. Same thing in the classroom. If a child doesn't understand why 1 plus 1 is 2, they'll have bad behavior. They're good kids. They want to behave well. They're confused. So if I just start saying blanket statements to everything about who God is, what he is, why he is, how he is, that's good. That's not bad. But it's so overwhelming. I'm confused, which leads to tension, which leads to stress and anxiety. There's so much, I'll never be able to achieve it. Whoa, let's back up. Our motive for even wanting to learn, my motive is because Christ is coming any day. That's what's going to move me to action. We just want to move me to action, okay? Proper behavior isn't the focus. Don't do this. Don't do that. The behavior is not the focus. It's a byproduct of what the focus is on. You need to have certain people that are qualified. We're going to be specific on what to teach them as they know this, but their mind is here. Knowing the information down here, knowing the information with my thought, my heart up here, will in the middle take care of itself. In the middle will take care of itself. These are the things that are clear. This happens supernaturally. So even on my Bible, I'm reading down and across. It's promoting foundation, clarity, teaching, proper behavior with knowing Christ is coming. So it's like this up successfully, not like this successfully. Going up. That's clearing it up. Clearing it up. Okay? We'll stop right there for now. And we'll pick the same thing up next week from chapter 2's perspective. What can I take from this? Here's what you can take. As I learn foundational truths of Scripture, of doctrines, whatever, I start applying them to my life. I'm not focused on, this is going to be hard to do. This is going to be, I'm not sure if I can achieve this. Wow, there's so much God wants me to get done. Nope, I'm focused on, hey, I'm just going to take steps as if Christ is coming today. So whatever God is leading you and directing you on your own Bible study time, take and say, I'm learning these things. Even if it's asking me a lot, or I'm learning a lot, or things may be hard to understand, I'm going to keep going forward because I know Christ could come get me today. And that goes like this, not like this. I'm happy. If heaven is half as good as I think it is, I want to be there now. So me knowing that Christ is coming for me today, hopefully I can time it just right to where I jump when he comes and I beat you guys there. No. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for your truth, the scripture. So thankful that, Lord, that we're able to read and look at a strategic plan that you had for Titus to teach those there at Crete. Lord, and those same truths can be applied to us. Lord, as we know, as that knowledge grows in us, it leads to the goals for proper behavior, but our focus isn't on the behavior. It's on the Savior. Our focus is on the Savior, and as a byproduct, the more I learn, it's a joyful transition to proper behavior. Lord, however you spoke to your children's hearts today, I ask that they would just agree to it, they would yield to how you're guiding and directing them, and that we would all take how you're speaking to our hearts, take those and show and apply them in our life to be that much more conformed to your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.